And my dear brothers and sisters, I was once sent to a parish to preach about the missionaries of St. Paul, as I am doing among you today. And after the Mass, we went back to the sacristy, and one of the little young altar boys walked up to me and asked me, "Father, what language were you speaking during the Mass?" And I looked at him, and I was amazed, and I said to him, "Well, I was speaking English language." He said, "Oh no, Father, you weren't speaking English. I couldn't understand you." I said, "Well, next time you need to pay more attention so that you can understand me better." And on another day, after preaching, I was out there greeting the people while they were walking out. And a lady, one senior, came and said, "Oh, thank you so much, Father. It was a very wonderful homily." And I was a little curious. And I called her and I said, "What actually did I talk about?" He said, "You know, Father, I didn't understand anything that you said. But you know, the way you were moving your hands and the way you were talking loudly, I guess you were preaching with passion. That would have been a good homily." So, my dear brothers and sisters, today I'm going to speak a little slower so that many people will understand, you know, what I'm going to talk about. And after the Mass, I wouldn't have so many people asking me, "What language were you speaking?" I belong to the missionary group called the Missionaries of St. Paul of Nigeria. And our congregation was established by the Catholic Bishops Conference of Nigeria in response to the church's call to send missionaries out to evangelize. In Nigeria, there are so many dioceses that do not have so many priests. So they opened this missionary group to raise an ordained priest that would be sent to these places to help to preach the gospel. So the congregation was established on October 23, 1977, and it was a Mission Sunday to give it that foundation as a missionary group. And we started having our ordination of priests in 1985. And shortly afterwards, we started getting requests from different places beyond Nigeria to send our priests to work in their dioceses and parishes. And that is how we found ourselves in the United States. We landed in Galveston, Houston Archdiocese, and there we have our regional headquarters for the United States. And today, we have about 48 priests of the Missionaries of St. Paul working in different dioceses, starting all the way from Montana down to Chicago, New York, and down to Texas. Brothers and sisters, I'm here today to ask you to partner with us in this missionary enterprise, in this mandate that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. Jesus has called us, saying to us, "Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It is not a call for the priest alone. It is a call for each and every one of us. Today, we hear about the birth of John the Baptist, who was called in a very special way for a mission. And our responsorial psalm sums it up very wonderfully when he says, "I praise you, Lord, for I am wonderfully made." You are wonderfully made. We are wonderfully made because we are made in the image and likeness of God. And we know that our God is good, and everything that God made is good. And he made human beings in a very special way, in his image, giving us soul, giving us intelligence, making us to be higher than other creatures, Because God has a purpose for each and every one of us. So every day we come to worship God. We come to bond ourselves to Him. We come to unite ourselves to Him so that more and more we will have a deeper understanding of the purpose, of the reason, of the mission that God wants us to fulfill here on earth. John the Baptist was wonderfully made even from his birth. The father spoke, who was dumb for about 9 months. John was a special person, and he fulfilled the reason for which he came, to point out to the Messiah, behold the Messiah, behold the Lamb of God. The question for all of us is, have we been able to discover the reason, the mission, the purpose for which God has wonderfully made us? So when we gather today, we pray God for a special grace, the grace that will enable us to realize why we are here, the grace that will enable us to go all the way out to fulfill the reason for which God has made us. And this reason is hinged on only two important things: to love God and to love one another. So here today, I'm asking you for your love for the missionaries of St. Paul. I'm asking you, first of all, to pray for us, because many of the places where we work, we engage in primary evangelization, those places are very challenging. We don't say they are difficult, we say they are challenging. They are challenging even to the extent that sometimes you are not sure whether you are going to see tomorrow. But something is very interesting about our going out to evangelize. We work in almost 13 countries down there in Africa, and then we work here in the United States, in Canada, in UK, Bahamas, Grenada, and some other places. Something is always very unique about our going out for mission. And what is it? It is the fact that we are able to see Jesus Christ in the lives of the people we go to minister to. We're able to see them expressing the joy and enthusiasm to hear the gospel. The joy of the gospel. They want to hear the gospel. They are longing for the gospel, for the word of God to be preached to them. And that gives us a lot of courage. It gives us a lot of encouragement. However, we also go among the people that are really in need of so many things, starting from the basic need of food, the need for clothing, the need for health care, the need for education of the kids. So that's why we are asking you to pray for us to be able to remain steadfast in those mission areas, especially in the challenging areas. Your prayer is very, very important to us. And also to ask you to partner with us financially so that we'll be able to continue to remain in those difficult areas. Shortly, I'm going to share briefly about my own missionary work in South Sudan. In our seminary in Nigeria, we have so many young men who want to come into the seminary to be trained, to become priests, and to go out to evangelize. But we don't have enough resources to train the seminarians. Right now, we have about 100 seminarians in our major seminary preparing to become priests. And it takes us about $3,000 a year to train a single seminarian. And our training spans for the period of 9 years. If we don't have priests, we will not be able to have those to be sent out to evangelize. So the first call on us financially is to consider sponsoring a seminarian. You can sponsor a seminarian for $3,000 for a year, you can sponsor a seminarian for the whole period of 9 years, in which case you have to get in contact with our mission office in order to be able to know what to do. And if you don't need to have $3,000, no matter how small it is, you can also use it to partner with us in the training of seminarians. That is the first primary thing we're asking you to do financially. And secondly, we're asking you to support us so that we'll be able to support those we are working with. When I was in South Sudan, I was ordained a priest in 2008, and as a matter of fact, 21st of June, that's on Thursday, I celebrated my 10th anniversary as a priest. So, after my ordination in 2008, in 2009, I was sent out to South Sudan to work, and I was in South Sudan for 3 years. I finished my work in 2011. And we walked into a people that are yearning to hear the word of God. But we walked into a people that are very hungry. People that are very hungry, longing for food. People that stay days without food. I suppose that is not something that can be imagined here in the United States. But that is the very truth I'm telling you. Those who know the history and those who look at the map of the world, you will discover that South Sudan is directly under the equator, so it's a semi-arid desert. They don't farm. The land is not arable. There is no rain in South Sudan. There is no river in South Sudan. So people are hungry and they are dependent so much, 90% on the food that comes from outside. So these are the kind of people that we are among in order to do our ministry. So for that, for you to preach, you must have food. Without food, there is no gospel. Because a hungry man will not be able to hear the gospel. So we as missionaries of St. Paul, we don't farm. The only farm we have is the gospel. So that's why we ask you to support us so that we'll be able to feed those who are out there in South Sudan, in Chad, in Malawi, in Liberia. We came among the people who had no access to education. The only school we have inside the place where we are the schools established by our mission groups. The only hospital, I call it hospital, but in a sense, it's not actually up to a clinic. It's just a room where we keep a nurse to dispense medications to people. The nearest hospital to us is about 9 hours away. So that clinic is the only thing that we have in order to give them some kind of medical attention. But let me tell you something very interesting about it. These people are nomads. They go with animals. They go off to the mountains to find grasses for their animals. So when they come to the hospital, when they're sick, you give them medication to drink. When they go back home, they will divide the medication into half and give half to the animals. And they will tell you, well, if this medication is good for me, then it's also good for my animal because I want my animals to be alive. And that is as a result of ignorance. Education is needed. We open schools and we ask them to bring their kids to be educated. And they wouldn't want their kids to be educated because they say, well, we don't want them to get radicalized. We don't want you to tell them Western education. We don't want them to lose our own culture. So as we continued to minister to them, some of them started sending some of the boys whom they considered not to be good enough to go with the animals. So those were the ones they sent to the school. But gradually, we started working with these children, and eventually, they were able to speak and understand English. And we started going with them into the interiors, so that when we speak, they can interpret to their people as a way of encouraging them, as a way of seeing what education is doing for their kids, as a way of allowing the young ones to be more interested in coming to the school. For the girls, it's a no-no. The girls, they don't send the girls to school because they say that when the girls get educated, they will not agree to marry. They will not agree to marry because when a girl marries, the man, the father, has as a dowry so many cows from the husband. So they say that they wouldn't send the girls to education to be educated. So we have so much challenge working on their mind, talking to them and making them convinced about the value and importance of education. We need money in order to be able to train these kids. So the mission in South Sudan is a very challenging one. We need money in order to clothe them. In South Sudan, many people, 90% of the people are still going naked in the area where we work. They come to church naked. You know, when I was there, I sent a couple of pictures home, and my aunt at home asked me, "Where did you get all these pictures you sent to me?" And I told her, "This is the place where I'm working." And she said, "Well, that is not true." And meanwhile, for me to send these pictures, I have to fly to Kenya, to the neighboring country, because there is no internet in South Sudan where we were. There is no electricity. There is no television. So I have to go to another country to be able to send this thing out. So eventually, I have to go stay with the people, and I have to teach one of them to snap the picture. And after taking the pictures, I went to Kenya, uploaded them, and sent them to her, and she saw me in the midst of these people, and she said, "Father, I almost had a heart attack." I said, "Well, that is the place where I am. It takes prayer to be able to stay in a place like this, and that's why your prayer is very, very important to us. We cannot do this mission work all by ourselves. We do not have any farm. We do not have any business. So we entrust on your generosity. We entrust on your support. Help us so that we'll be able to help these people." I was meant to understand that Father Nathan is another priest from a congregation too, from the Companions of Christ. And as a matter of fact, they have a parish very close to where I work in Houston. I'm a pastor of a church in Houston. And coincidentally, my church is St. Peter the Apostle, just like your church here. So we have the Companions. So if we don't have missionaries, we'll not be able to have those to be sent out to mission and to evangelize. So it is my prayer that you will be able to support us. We have a flyer that we have kept at the back of the church. And after the mass, you can pick one and you can see a little more about our missionary work and what our missionary group is about. Today we are going to have a second collection where you are going to make your support to the missionaries of St. Paul. And if you would like to write a check for us, write it in the name of your own church. It will be taken in by the church here and sent to the diocese afterwards. And then the diocese will in turn send them to our missionary group. It is my prayer today, my brothers and sisters, that as you support us, God will continue to minister to you, to your family, and to continue to bless all your undertakings through Christ our Lord. Amen.